Welcome to this episode all about plant consciousness and essential oils. Now, I've used oils for many years without really knowing what they do and why they work. So when I was offered the chance to speak to an expert, I grabbed it with both hands. So this is an interesting and in-depth conversation with a fascinating lady called Sinead Duffy. And in the show notes, there's some links to her website and a course that she runs and also a book that she references in the conversation. So sit down, settle back and enjoy this journey that we're going to go on all about plant consciousness and working with essential oils. And I'm sure you're going to learn something new because I know I did. Thank you. So I'm here with Sinead Duffy, a consciousness coach, to talk about essential oils. So let's start off, Sinead, by just defining what's the difference between your work and your practice as a consciousness coach and an essential oils practitioner?
Okay, well, thank you. Thanks, Simon. Thank you so much for having me on. So yes, my work is quite different to just general aromatherapy because I'm a consciousness coach first and foremost. And so what my calling and what my coaching does is to call you into a deeper relationship with essential oils. So I work with getting you into a meditative state and letting that be the guide. So I'm totally non-prescriptive with my oils. I never would say, oh, you've got this going on with you, you should try this oil. I like you to get into a state where you connect with the symptoms or the bodily intelligence that's manifesting in you and to connect that bodily intelligence with the energy of the oils, with the trees. And because the trees work at a very energetic level and so for you to meet them at that level so that they can serve you much, much, much more deeply.
So really you're an energy healer.
Yeah, I am. But what I would see myself as more, not so much me doing the healing, but just facilitating your self-healing and meeting your self-healing with the trees that are so deeply healing. So just connecting you with that healing energy of your own healing energy with the healing energy of the trees. I kind of more consider myself like almost like a doula, you know, somebody who carries you from one state of consciousness to a deeper state of consciousness.
That's really interesting because I was just chatting to you earlier about my work doing tree energy medicine, which is kind of similar, but taking people out into the forest and connecting them to the consciousness and therefore the energy of trees. Yeah, that's interesting. But let's get into essential oils a little bit too. And you call the sense of smell a superpower. And why do you refer to it like that?
Yeah. Well, because it is the only one of the five senses that has unfiltered access to the limbic brain, and the limbic brain is so important in how we feel and how we function, and it governs so much of what we do, and all the other senses will always be filtered, you know, where smell will immediately change your entire state of being. And we know this. There's not a single meditative tradition ever recorded that has not used the sense of smell. All of them do because they know it. They've always known it. We know it also, but unfortunately, because we live in a rationalist age, the pre-rational sense of smell is not rated. We're just going around thinking we're very rational and there's no value in this pre-rational sense. And it really, really is undervalued. And I'm hoping there's a little bit of a renaissance post-COVID because a lot of people lost their sense of smell in COVID. And there it was felt how utterly discombobulating that is and how you feel like, you know, I went to a beautiful talk on this and she called it behind the glass wall. So when you lose your sense of smell, you feel like you are behind a glass wall. You're out of this world. You're not here. You can't feel this world, which is utterly discombobulating. But I would also argue that a lot of people are walking around like that quite a lot of the time because we don't value our sense of smell. We're kind of disembodied. So for me, the sense of smell allows us to come back to our senses, allows us to come back to an embodied state, a state where we are in the world, of the world, feeling the world. And it just brings us back to ourselves as these beautiful elements of nature that we are.
So how does the sense of smell affect the human energy field?
Well, I mean, it's pure vibration. So olfaction, when you breathe in, you know, you have the energetic, you have all the components, that the neurochemistry of the oils, but also obviously the energy of the oils. And so by that, I mean the energy of the trees and plants and these beautiful elements of nature. You inhale them and automatically you're impacted on the energetic field, on the physical field. Really, all of the, in yoga we say the koshas, the five koshas, all five koshas are instantly impacted. And that's why it's quite nice also. It's instant. It's deep, but it's instant. So in a time-pressed world, you know, it really makes sense to work in this instant way, depth and instance at the same time. So it's vibrational. And in fact, we don't even really know how the sense of smell has the impact that it does. Science doesn't know, but you know, if you work in energy, you can feel it. And the common dominant school of thinking is that it's this neurochemical lock and key mechanism that is how we take in the intelligence of an oil, the effect, the benefit of an oil. And but now there's a new theory, which is that it's mostly vibrational. Which I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's a new theory, but okay, science, if you think it's new. So it is mostly vibrational, but you know, it's both. It's neurochemical and it's vibrational at the same time.
So using it as a healing element then, how can we use our sense of smell to bring awareness to where, you know, something's stuck or we've got a buildup of emotional charge?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the beautiful and humbling things is you don't even need to have that depth of awareness, because when you, and it's quite humbling, but when you breathe in something, all I do like you to bring a deeper level of consciousness. So that really just means creating space and a whole lot of humility and pulling back from the, when your thinking mind says, but you know, you just go, no, just trust, just listen to the body. And this feels like the right oil, because the oil, in using oils, there's something called the wisdom of the oil, which is utterly incredible. But the oil will come into your body and it has its own awareness of where the pain is, where the need is, and it will go there. And even science has proved this. They've found greater concentrations of the molecules of the oil in people who've got, say, a lung condition. They found it in the lung, and in other people who've got another condition, maybe like marjoram is great for lungs and it's great for muscles also. So if somebody's got a situation with their leg or something, there's greater concentration of the essential oil in their leg. So the oils have, we call it the wisdom of the oil. The oils will go to where they're needed. All you really have to do is to get the heck out of the way, you know, and just trust and let it happen.
So in that way, do you believe that the oil actually kind of carries a message, for want of a better word, or is it the way our unconscious mind interprets that smell coming in when we inhale it?
Well, I mean, I guess I would see that kind of as almost the same thing. You know, I see it sort of as a communion, as a conversation, as consciousness meeting consciousness. And of course, consciousness is indivisible, but in as much as we can perceive it, that's what it is. It's consciousness of the tree, or I do say tree, although there's other elements, but it's mainly, I experience and feel it most with the trees, because they're so deep and so deeply communicative by nature. And they are connecting with our own consciousness. And so that's how the healing happens. So yes, definitely the trees bring messages, and they, you know, they do. And the deeper consciousness you can get to, the more clear you'll hear those messages. And sometimes they're practically verbal. They're so clear. But yes, the trees definitely bring messages. And but of course your body is full of messages, and I really wish that we could hear our body's messages more, and the trees help that. They really help us to hear our own body messages more.
So is that like an intuitive healing then, that you smell the oil, you connect to the consciousness of the plant, your consciousness responds, and then you start to get intuition. So you start to get knowing. So it's as if you're being told, but you're kind of telling yourself, but not. Does that explain it in a way?
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Sometimes it does feel a little bit like you're hearing voices, but you know, it's just yourself and it's just consciousness, and it's absolutely beautiful. And what's wonderful is that they're always bringing you into harmony with yourself and your surroundings. That's how you know that they're the good voices, not the voices that tell you to, you know, sit down and watch a box set of Netflix or whatever. The good voices, they're always bringing you into harmony, and they're very beautiful and very humbling, and just always bringing you back to balance and back to this lovely sense of being held.
Beautiful. So are they working with our unconscious mind? Are they pulling that knowledge from our unconscious mind?
Yeah. I mean, I do always refer to it as wisdom rather than knowledge, because, you know, you don't need to know. You just don't need to know. And it is not containable within the rational mind. It's just not, and that's okay. And I'm actually, you know, I'm not an anti-rationalist, but I do value, you know, when we often look for empirical evidence, and empirical evidence is wonderfully gratifying. And a lot of our therapists, again, this would be another thing that differentiates my coaching from a aromatherapy session as such. In aromatherapy, they love scientific validation. And I can understand, because there's very little, and there's very little financial benefit to be got from promoting aromatherapy. So there's not a lot of scientific validation. But I value more the messages or the teachings or the learnings. One person who has gone to a very deep state of consciousness with a tree than 100 people found this. You know, because if 100 people found that, okay, that's interesting. But the deeper somebody goes with consciousness, that's where the deeper learnings are. So for me, science is a little bit necessarily reductionist. It has huge value, of course, but it's necessarily reductionist. So for deep consciousness and a more, as you say, intuitive and relational wisdom that is fundamentally relational, then it's hard to prove, because it's not subjective, because it's the totality of reality, but it is not objective in that it's not provable in a scientific way. So that's quite a long answer to that question, isn't it? Did I answer the question there?
You did, actually, in a brilliant way, because you've really neatly described where kind of holistic treatments are sitting alongside traditional medicine, and the relationship is a little bit awkward at times, you know, a bit like siblings that don't really get on but kind of love each other. So yeah, very, very good description of that. Yes, science is important, but it's not everything, and it does tend to blur, I think, our own kind of sense of intuition and our own self-healing abilities, for sure. So let's talk about a few cases then. And you know, I'm interested in how you can use oils to affect things like, you know, low mood, self-doubting thoughts, unhelpful patterns. How have you used oils to help people with those kind of things, even depression?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, so there's a number of things there. So with mood, you know, mood is such a big concept, and what is it exactly that's bringing on a low mood? So for me, what the oils help me to do is to get to that lower level of consciousness that's kind of underneath whatever symptom is. So what really, and so this is sort of pan-symptomatic, it helps me to get under the symptom so that I can connect with what the body is really saying. So any symptom is bodily intelligence, and our only job is to understand what that body intelligence is saying. Why is there a lack of balance in the body that is manifesting in pain, be it physical or psycho-spiritual? What is the body saying? And then to, you know, have the humility to come into communion with that symptom, with that intelligence, and together you know, get through it. And so with mood, you know, mood is so hugely, so first of all, impacted by the oil, but also so contained, we know now, in the gut. So we really need to get out of the thinking mind and into the gut brain, which again is sort of reductionist, but at least now they've allowed us a second brain. So, you know, so what I'm trying to teach is a more diffused intelligence, which again, the plants have totally diffused intelligence. That's what they have. You know, a plant can lose up to 80% of itself and still survive. We don't have that. So they have diffused intelligence. So what I try to teach is a more diffused type of intelligence, and the oils help us with that. So we haven't, science hasn't allowed us this, and we don't have this diffused intelligence as yet, but I'm hoping we're getting back to it. But we have been allowed to have a second brain, which is in our gut. So dropping into that second brain in the gut is critical for mood, because that's where we know 80% of serotonin is produced. So to connect with that gut brain, the oils will help us to do that. And then that is what helps us to transform our mood. And probably there's going to be a dietary aspect to that. But again, I'm very non-prescriptive in diets. It has to come from consciousness, because there's not a one size fits all. You've got to drop into your consciousness and let your gut brain speak to you. And it will speak as clearly as your cerebral brain. You know, it's not as chatty, but it has deep wisdom, and it will allow you have that wisdom to let, and allow you to get to the mood that you need to be in, the sense of balance that you need to be in, or whatever symptom is manifesting, to just bring that back into balance. So be it mood, be it depression, be it I can't remember what other symptom you said, but I really feel that it's pan-symptomatic. Whatever symptom, be it super physical, a physical symptom that you have, be it eczema, you know, whatever it is, something you can see, or something that's you feel is a mental disturbance, any symptom. Really, what's needed is a deeper state of consciousness, and the oils will allow you to get into that, will help you get into that deeper state of consciousness. And then you mentioned triggers, and that's really where the oils can help, because what I love people to do is to meet them at this deeper level of consciousness. But then the beautiful thing is, because of this direct access to the limbic brain, and it's like, I call smells, it's like a backstage pass. You can use them as an anchor for mood, or for well-being, or for anxiety, or for really anything. So when you feel the intelligence of anxiety coming, which is really scary intelligence, you know, a lot of the intelligence until you come into communion with it is very scary and very overwhelming. But once you can come into communion with it, you know, with deeper consciousness and the oils, then you feel it coming, and then you'll use your oil. And you'll, even before you smell the oil, you'll feel consciousness being gentler, because it knows that it's being heard. And again, I'm objectifying it, which is ridiculous, but just with the mind that I have, it's necessary. So all consciousness is appeased, and the symptoms are reduced and brought back into balance, because you are listening to and in communion with consciousness. And the trees for me just facilitate and literally lubricate and just make all the journey more easy and more beautiful, because they contain so much beauty, you know, just the smell and the feeling, that, you know, the beautiful uplifting qualities that they have. You know, like jasmine, like, it's staggeringly beautiful. So it's it makes the journey a lot more beautiful.
Do you work in this way on human conditioning?
Human conditioning. So I mean, I guess I'd, you know, what do you mean by conditioning?
Okay, yeah. So anxiety comes from survival issues, which we store in our body. That can be conditioned by, problems in childhood. Maybe when we're growing up, we're not made to feel safe, secure, and nurtured by our parents. We start to pick up this conditioning, and then we store it, and then we start to act on it, or it causes us these symptoms of anxiety, etc.
Yeah. No, so that is, I guess, what we try to do is to get under that. But what I like about it as well is that while we're getting under it, it's very non-cognitive, because we're working with the oils, and the oils, the oils, the body knows more. So all, you know, trauma is stored in the cells and in the body, as we know. So what the oils enable us to do is, first of all, to penetrate the cells and get in there. But also, I like to be really physical with it, to work out trauma very physically with, you know, massage, self-massage, also, you know, acupressure points. So if you bring the oils onto an acupressure point, which I love to, you know, I like to teach people acupressure points, but I'm also really about trying to get people to, well, you know, where do your hands feel like going onto your body, especially when you smell that oil, and, you know, for people to move more intuitively, and to release this limiting conditioning and triggering conditioning, in a very, kind of, again, I don't know if it's humble is the right word, but a non-cerebral, a non-cognitive, just very physical way, you know, to just let the oils get, because they have such deep roots also. So often these things we've stored so deeply in our bodies, but just to have the humility of knowing that, you know, trees have way deeper roots than we do, and that you can feel it very physically when a tree penetrates your body, and this it's spirit, but it's also very much chemistry, and it goes down. It just goes down, because some plants and trees have the, but plants, I experience it very deeply, that they have the energy to just come into the body and go, where are we? What are we doing? Let's go south. You know, they just want to go down and find the earth. That's what they want to do. And so they help us to do that, to get grounded, to get more rooted on this where we are. But also to get under things, you know, to get under whatever we're really holding on to. They have the viscosity, the energy, the everything about them allows them to get under things. So it helps you to root out whatever you're carrying very energetically, but also really molecular, chemically also, I feel.
That's amazing, actually. That's because that describes the experience of actually being with trees very succinctly, that you connect, you absorb, and yes, it goes down, you feel grounded, it's the surface level, but yes, I've always felt it's working on a deeper level on your energy system, most likely your root chakra, or, you know, the root part of your meridians, or any part of your energy system. That's really it's really interesting. And in this way, does working with oils on a cellular level bring us into the consciousness of the plant? I was really, you know, when you said massage, I was thinking, you know, we probably see massage on a surface level. Oh, I've got an aching, you know, back. I'll go for a massage, and the massage therapist will soften that out. But what you're saying is it actually works on a cellular level and on a consciousness level.
Yeah, it does. There's not a single system in the body that isn't hugely impacted by massage. Every single system, even the vestibular system, every system really resonates with massage. And we should know this better than we do. I mean, you just have to look at your animals to get a lot of intelligence, and, you know, they will not go for long without a rub, and we shouldn't either. But I love self-massage also, because, well, I love a massage. The more hands, the better, really. But self-massage is a different thing, because massage is a communication tool, and so self massage is a self communication tool. So if you self massage with consciousness, you'll oh my goodness, it's just utterly transformative. You know, you'll reach a part of your body, and you've got to stay with a nice sense of consciousness, because you'll find yourself skirting over a part of your body, and then you go, wait a minute, what's going on there? You'll go back and rub that bit again and say, okay, something is being held there. So it's massage is a very deep process. And we know this, you know, that it's the only, I don't know if you know that book about touching. It's like 2 inches thick. It's a huge book and it's incredible. But it's the only sense that we cannot survive without being touched. We absolutely need touch. And, you know, we don't appreciate as much. We don't really appreciate that the same as the sense of smell. Unfortunately, we live in a very audiovisual world, but it's actually touch and smell is what is really what we need. But self-massage is hugely, hugely beneficial for consciousness and for self-healing and for very deep, deep self-healing.
How can you learn self-massage?
Just ask your body. Your body knows, you know. Look at your animals. You know how to self-massage. Ask a new mother, you know. A new mother knows how to handle her infant perfectly. She does not need to learn that. And we don't need to learn self-massage. We know how to rub ourselves. We've just kind of forgotten, but if you just come in. But actually, it's a very, you know, it comes back instantly, you know. So most of what I do, and it's what really lights me up, is most of what I teach is just reminding people of what they already know, but often they haven't known it in this lifetime, but they always have that aha moment, always. Mm-hmm. So when you start self-massaging, you'll just feel it. And even the points, the pressure points are, they're called marma points in yoga, but they're the same really as the acupressure points. You'll feel them, you'll find them, and you'll get a sense of them as long as you work with consciousness and the trees just facilitate that consciousness.
So you can take an oil and self-massage with it, obviously inhale it, and then start to go on a consciousness journey of healing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
Led by your intuition.
Yeah.
Can we just slightly backtrack, because I think we covered some interesting ground there about how essential oils can bring you into a closer contact with nature. In my belief system, we have become separated from nature, and it's what's causing us to have so many problems with our health. So part of my work is to bring people back into contact with nature. And I feel that is really something underlying what you do too.
Yes. Yes, very much so. Very much so. And yes, we've become divorced from nature, unfortunately, and also entirely disembodied as the elements of nature that we are. So we call it the mind-body divide, but for me, the mind-body and the divide is the same as the mind-nature divide, because body is nature and we are nature, and we're just divorced from ourselves as elements of nature and from our bodies. So, you know, it's ridiculous, really, when you almost, it would be funny, but it's not, because we're on the brink of extinction. Yeah, we've just forgotten how relational our existence is, and we've stopped valuing relational intelligence. So what I mean by that is we value rational intelligence, which is, and this is evident in every aspect of our society, there's also a slightly gender aspect to this. And by this, I don't mean men and women as such. I mean the female aspect that is contained in both men and women and however you self-identify, and the male aspect that is contained in men and women and however you self-identify. And we've really leaned into the intelligence that's perceived as more masculine intelligence, the more analytic, the more systematic, the more linear. So we've really leaned into that, and that is very evident in our education system, in the pay divide, and the pay divide is that you know, yes, women are paid more than men in general, but also male nurses are paid less than nurses, be they male or female, are paid less than doctors. So the more relational caring and the more relational intelligence, the more relational wisdom is not valued, whereas a very rational, very systematic, analytic intelligence is valued. And so because we don't value relational intelligence, intelligence. We're not taught it. We don't have a language for it. And we don't even know really how to experience it and how to feel it and how to be it. So because of that, the intelligence that we need to come back into our bodies and to renegotiate our relationship with our environment, you know, we're the only species that has ever created an environment that is biotoxic to ourselves, because we're caught up in this analytic, and analytic literally means to separate, to pull away. We so value this analytic intelligence, and so don't even know how to use our relational intelligence, that we've divorced ourselves from nature, and we've really messed up our intrinsically relational relationship with our own bodies, with our own environment, with how we, you know, how our existence is fundamentally porous. It's something we're afraid to acknowledge, terrified to acknowledge, and it goes way back. I mean, at least to Plato, at least, but probably way before him. A lot of people would say that it goes back to when we shifted from worshipping goddesses to worshipping gods. So that's, again, quite a long answer to that question. But
I'm going to bring us back to Earth, because I've got a burning question, and it's just something I'm slightly confused about. And as you're an expert in this field, I'm going to take the opportunity of asking this to you. And that's because I've seen that the term plant medicine is being applied to essential oils and aromatherapy. And I feel that that's a bit of a stretch of a definition. But what's your opinion?
I don't. I mean, it is important to differentiate them from the psychotropics, but consciousness is consciousness. You know, for me, the psychotropics, so plant medicine, usually when you hear it being used, at least 5 years ago, maybe it's changed, but it used to be that just meant ayahuasca or peyote or whatever, psychotropics. But for me, cedar, you know, me putting cedarwood on in the body is plant medicine, no question. So, and consciousness is indivisible. So the psychotropics, for me, the psychotropics are the body, are the plant, the trees, really shouting at the body, saying, "Look, you know, it's badass. You can't not hear a psychotropic tree." But for me, what's important is that we also learn to listen to the whisperings, not just the shoutings, but the whisperings. And the essential oils are the whisperings of the trees. It's a gentler plant medicine. So I call it plant medicine as well. But yeah, just be careful what you're signing up to for the weekend.
Thank you. I really enjoyed your answer. That's helped me out. So how can people learn more about what you do? You've got a course coming up, which is called Smell is Your Superpower. But having listened through this whole conversation, I'd love to think they want to connect to you and find out more.
Yeah, well, thank you. There's Smell is Your Superpower is a very lovely course that I've created, and that is online. So I'll give you a link to that. I hope we can put a link to that here. I also do one-on-one coaching, because that for me is where I can really serve most deeply. You know, we can go together, and it's quite nice. And I also have a range of oils that I've created. So Yoganda is my range of oils. So what I did there with Ganda is Sanskrit for fragrance, and using fragrance for deeper levels of consciousness. So I put together yoga with Ganda. Yoganda is my range of oils that you can use. So in a way, that's one way people could do it. They could just get a Yoganda oil and meditate with it and just experience it. So that's one quite physical way to use my oils. And the oils, I spent 3 years meditating and blending on the intentions of my yoga students to create those oils. So they are deeply trancy and lovely. But my preferred thing to do is to take people on a journey with oils, be they mine, be they their own. I'm oil agnostic. So that's my preferred way of working with people. So as a one-on-one coach. So to do that, I've actually got two Instagram profiles. I've got Yoganda and I've got the Consciousness Coach, which is quite new. So I'm working with people as the consciousness coach. I'm kind of a little bit focusing with women now, perimenopausal women specifically, but really, as it happens, it's a lot broader than that. A lot of people have contacted me who are not in that group, and I'm happy to work with anybody who is open to deeper consciousness. Perimenopausal women are great because they're already going through a deep shift in consciousness and they're not aware of it, so it's great, it's easy to bring them on the journey. But if you're open to consciousness and to going more deeply with plant consciousness, then I'm very happy to work with you. So physical products, online courses, and one-on-one coaching. I have all those various offerings. So yeah, I hope to connect with some people who are interested in that journey.
Fantastic, Sinead. That's really brilliant. And thank you for covering so many different areas of your work and really, yes, igniting a very interesting conversation. So thank you very much indeed. Everything you've just described, I will put in the show notes. And yes, let's get that message out there. But for now, thank you very much.
And thank you, Simon. Thank you for having me.